Welcome back to the home of explanations. You've got more than money. You've got Gene Dickinson, your host, your personal financial advisor, live this Saturday morning, April the 28th. It's a glorious spring. It's a spring morning out there. And John and I were both commiserating over the fact that, hey, you know, May? May is Tuesday? How in the world could that be? Especially since we had no spring whatsoever. It was remarkable to come back after being away for a week, and when we left, everything was 100% gray, and now so much greenery popped in just 5-6 days, and lots of buds on the trees, and the spring is just a wonderful, wonderful time of the year. I think fall's still my favorite. I think it's my favorite season, but I like them all. I like them all. That's why we live here, and that's why we'll always live here. We like the seasons. My poor daughter living in L.A., they have one season. Gross. just yuck. If you get the impression it's not my favorite town, it's not. So many wonderful places in this world. So welcome. If you are just joining us, a couple things you should know. We have a bit less than an hour left in this edition of More Than Money. Number two, shortly we'll do Name That Tune. Have a little bit of fun with that. Give you a hint. It's foggy out today. That might be a good hint. Might not be. So we'll see about that. Number three, if you missed the first hour, you missed some really good questions, really good callers, really good discussion. You can access all of that by podcast, and you can do that starting Monday around noon. John takes care of all the technical stuff on this side over the weekend, and Joanne takes care of the technical side of that stuff in the office on Monday morning. And by noon, you'll be able to listen to the first hour and catch up, get all that good information. And number 3A. For folks who are hearing, and because some folks are a little shy, and they may be too shy to talk on the radio. And by the way, if you are, John is incredibly skilled. He's been doing this a long time. He's incredibly skilled at taking your question, making a couple notes. You don't have to go on air. He can get your question to me. Or you can send me an email and be as anonymous as you wish, gene@askmtm.com. That works as well. And of course, if you'd like more specific information, because so many of the things that we discuss, the answer starts with, it depends. And of course, all of your answers depend on your specific set of circumstances. We've got some very interesting emails in hand that will demonstrate that shortly. And if you'd like to join us this morning, we invite you to be not part of the show, but the heart of the show. 610-720-7900. If you think you might want to play Name That Tune, that's a very good number to know. 610-720-7900, because that's, we name that tune. Sending me an email doesn't work very well because they usually arrive about 17 minutes after the prize has already been awarded. But sending me an email with a question works very well, gene@askmtm.com. And you can join our entire show by our website. Anywhere you've got internet, you can log on to morethanmoneyonline.com. Hit the Listen Live button, hit the Ask Gene button, and you are fully engaged. And perhaps some of our friends from around the country who are with us in Memphis might be doing that this morning. And if so, we send our very best to all of them, and we hope they arrived home safely. Although leaving Memphis yesterday, our plane was delayed just about an hour. Folks that got to the airport, we got there 8:30 or so. There were folks who got there at 6 a.m., and their plane was delayed 6 hours. And there were some folks behind us whose plane were their planes were delayed 3 hours. So, I guess we were the lucky ones to get out of there. So we hope you all got home safely. And And we had such a wonderful time. If you, as I have had that opportunity to be part of an organization of like-minded people, be part of an organization in your profession perhaps, or perhaps it's through your church or an organization that you're really committed to, whether it's Rotarians, they do that, obviously, and folks gather together. You get to meet some folks, and over a number of years, you get to learn a little bit about them. And some of them, you, after a few years, you scratch your head and go, "Oh, look, they're coming. Go the other way." And then, blessedly, there are folks that even though they are further afield, you end up just absolutely falling in love with. And it's a real sadness because when you've spent 4 or 5 days remembering how much you absolutely love being with them. Diane and I both had some real, our plane ride, counting the hour we sat on the tarmac in Memphis waiting, it was about three and a half hours. So we had a real opportunity to share some of our own feelings with each other about the trip. And it's the, you form some bonds that can only be described flat out as love. And it's sad. It's sad that you miss them. And you're sad that the geographies of life make it so very difficult. I say geographies. Geographies and realities. Because life does tend to get... Our good friend Scott Barr lives in Macungie, for gosh sakes, and we don't get to see him nearly as much and his beautiful family as we wish. So I think everybody out there understands exactly what I'm saying. 610-720-7900. We're going to give you the intro, this little bit of a clip, and then you've got to name the song and the artist. Now, I think when I told you, John, when I told you the name of the song, I don't even think I got it correctly, but I'm seeing that what you've written down is what I was looking for. So I'm hopeful. We'll be a little flexible on the name of this. John has announced that he's very inflexible, to no one's shock. Bobby Gunther Walsh is listening, going, "John, inflexible? What? Never really seen that side of him." The artist you got to get. The song will give you a little leeway on it in the name of the title, but we'll see. Let's 610-720-7900. John, give it a go. Wow, it's just such an incredible song. And then I'll tell you a story later about how that kind of connected and what that all means. 610-720-7900. And goodness. Name of the song, name of the artist, and we'll give that a go here for a moment. I thought I had a really simple one. I was hopeful because simple is what I answer best. Sure I did, right here. Again, 610-720-7900. One more time. Let's go to the phones. Good morning. You're on More Than Money.
Good morning.
Yes.
The song, If I Can Dream, Elvis.
You got it exactly right. Wow, I wasn't sure that intro is pretty unique, but I wasn't sure it was enough. But you got it absolutely right. We appreciate your call. If you'll hang on a second, John, I'll get your contact information. We'll send you a nice gift.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Yes, If I Can Dream. When you visit Graceland, because there are so many people, and there are, it's just remarkable how many people. Are both interested and that they are able to get through what actually is a relatively modest home from the outside. Very, very lovely. The interior dimensions, relatively modest. There were a number of outbuildings and an office building where His father, Vernon, helped run his enterprise, some stables. He had an attached building that was almost kind of like for entertainment. It's where they held the wedding reception when he and Priscilla were married. He actually, in the 70s, built a racquetball court, which we got to see. And considering that racquetball was such an important part of my life back in the 70s, I was very intrigued and very jealous to have his own racquetball court. So really rather remarkable. But the way that you got to see or were guided on your tour was they gave you a headset and an interactive computer. So you were guided kind of step by step, room by room, and spot by spot. And so if, as we often do in radio, I wear headsets almost always, one earmuff on, one earmuff off. It was almost silent through the entire house. Even though there were dozens, maybe hundreds of people, it was very reverential. It was a very moving way to see and appreciate his home. And of course, and on the recordings, they're not just talking about, hey, here's the living room and here's what's in it, but they're talking about some of the stories behind it and the people involved and interviews with Elvis and with his family. And as you approach his gravesite, which is there at Graceland, gravesite both for him, his twin brother who was stillborn, his mother and father. On that guided tour, it talks about him in an interview just days before he passed, saying that as he incredibly poor young man, he had dreams and that he had accomplished every dream. And then the song, If I Can Dream, was played. Very, very moving. Very moving indeed. If you get a chance in your lifetime to take advantage and head on down to Memphis, not that far, down in the Mississippi Delta, and get to enjoy some of that music. And I would heartily endorse it. 610-720-7900. Email gene@askmtm.com. And morethanmoneyonline.com works every bit as well. Gentleman writes, I expect to retire in just over 3 years. I want to start early to get my ducks in a row. Very good idea. Oh, I see what he did there. You see, we were talking about the Peabody Hotel and the March of the Ducks. He's getting his ducks in a row. By the way, that's exactly how they march. They have a red carpet, and they march in a row directly from the elevator. That's hysterical. The elevator doors pop open, and they have four or five ducks kind of literally marching in a row to the fountain. Is there a best place to start in getting your ducks in a row? Well, there's a couple things that I would guide you. And I really like the fact that you're starting relatively early. Now, starting retirement planning or implementation 3 years in advance is relatively early. Preparing for retirement, if you're not starting in your teens, you're missing some real opportunities, the opportunities to have money compound for a very long time. You're missing that opportunity. So we're not talking about the gestalt, the big picture of planning your retirement. We're talking about, hey, we've been saving a long time. Hey, we've had a work history. Hey, we've got plans and dreams. How do we get this transitioned from I've been working my whole life to now I'm retired? So good idea. Where do you start? There's two places. First, getting a really, really, really good handle on your budget. And while the word budget, I wish I had a better word, because the word budget throws lots of people a curveball, gives them the heebie-jeebies. Some, I'm absolutely convinced, are allergic, because I say budget, they break into hives, panic attacks, their heart races. But the reality is, until we know exactly what you need, what kind of cash flow you need to pay your bills and to be happy and healthy in retirement, it's everything else is just a guess. Everything else is just a guess. If you say to me, when should I take Social Security, and I don't know what your cash flow needs are, whatever answer I give you is just a generalized non-specific, highly unlikely to be useful answer. But if you tell me specifically your budget, I can tell you specifically when you should start Social Security. If you tell me your budget and you tell me what available funds you have coming through the door, forgive the phrase, but we refer to some money as hell or high water money, Social Security, direct deposit. If you're taking a pension, that's going to be direct deposit. If you've got maybe an annuity that you're converting to monthly payments, those are direct deposit. Those are dollars that are going to come through the door, whether the stock market is up, down, or sideways, whether interest rates are rising, dropping, or staying level. If we know these numbers, all of a sudden we can give very specific answers for when should you start Social Security, how should you invest your money in retirement, how much risk should you or shouldn't you take in retirement. You have a fair number of questions. And by the way, the goal to all of this is the ability for you to retire confidently. And what does confidently entail? It entails making decisions that you know are correct for you. It entails making decisions that give you the highest probability of having a wonderfully successful retirement, which is typically defined by I don't run out of money. I'm happy, healthy, my bills are paid, and I remain financially independent, and I don't run out of money. So where should you start? You should start with it doesn't have to be detailed. It doesn't have to be broken down into I spend $1.30 a week I don't know what you would spend $1.30. I don't know. You spend $5 a week on lattes. It doesn't have to be that, but you have to, the difference between I spend between $3,000 and $5,000. That's crazy talk. And I spend around $3,000 to $3,300. That's perfectly appropriate. And I'm not interested at all on what you spend the money on, as long as it meets your needs, as long as you are happy, healthy, and your bills are paid. So that's the real place that you start. The next most important action that you can take is to start getting educated, because you are going to need to make some very important decisions in your retirement preparation, in your retirement transition, including those about Social Security, those about estate planning, your wills, your trusts, what kind of legacy will you be leaving, those about long-term care issues, life insurance issues. Do you keep your life insurance? Do you need life insurance? Should you drop life insurance? Should you get more life insurance? Long-term care insurance. What happens if somebody loses their health? What if my wife loses her health? What if my husband loses his health? These are important decisions. Most of which, I hesitated just because as soon as I said most, is that true? Yeah, it really is. Most of which require that you have some very reasonable education into the options that you will face. In your estate, do you need a will? People go, well, of course. Well, maybe you do, maybe you don't. Do you need a trust? Maybe you do, maybe you don't. Power of attorney, executor. Do you need medical directives? Do you need a living will? Do you need an irrevocable trust, a life insurance trust? Goodness, my head hurts already. Doesn't have to. But it does require that you become very familiar with these kinds of issues. You got 3 years. You're going to do great. 610-720-7900. Young lady spoke to John. She is in her 70s. She wants to put her daughter on the deed to her home and protect her home from nursing home, etc. What would her daughter's tax implications be? Oh, very good question. We've answered this on occasion, like often. It's a very, very reasonable question for lots of folks to ask, especially as we get a bit older. Well, sadly, this is one of those issues where there are no black and whites, and there are lots of gray areas. So we'll give you the basics. If you put your daughter's name on the deed, initially nothing happens. I know it seems like a momentous issue, and that maybe fireworks will go off, and there'll be trumpets blaring, and the IRS calls and wants to have a private. Nothing happens. Nothing happens. Let's just pick a number and say your home is worth $200,000, and let's pick a number and say that you've lived there for many, many years and that you paid $40,000. Just very simple. The IRS interprets you putting your daughter's name on the deed in that you have given her $100,000. That's assuming that you're putting her name on the deed with you. So you've got a home worth $200,000. If you put her name on the deed, she now owns, legally, she owns half your home. And as a result, you've given her a gift of $100,000. Ooh, that sounds kind of ominous. Nope. Boring. Doesn't really mean much in terms of taxes. Means almost nothing. A little piece of paper, your tax preparer might charge you a little bit extra to do one extra piece of paper, but that's it. No tax to your daughter, no tax to you. In 99.999% of the cases. If you decide that you're going to put her name on the deed and take your name off, from a tax standpoint, it's slightly different. You've made a $200,000 gift, and now you don't own the house. You have no legal right to the house, which is why so many people, when they give their home to their child, they retain what's referred to as a life estate. Now you really need to be talking to an attorney. You need to talk to somebody who understands real estate and titling and has some experience, a little bit of gray hair, a little less hair. These are good things. So is it possible? Absolutely. What are the tax implications upon the gift of your $200,000 home to your daughter? Zero. She pays no tax. You pay no tax. Sadly, at your passing, should she decide to sell the home, by putting her name on the deed and taking yours off, in essence, you have also given her your tax cost, which in this case is $40,000. If she decides to sell the home, she has $160,000 profit. She'll pay something on the order of $30,000 to $35,000 in income taxes. So good news while you're alive. If she decides to sell your home after your passing, not so good. If you were to leave your home in your own name and she were to inherit it, the income tax would be zero. So you are protecting your house from being lost to a nursing home, but you are inflicting a tax burden on your daughter at your passing. Now, here's one more thing just to make it poke the air out of the balloon as much as humanly possible. In the state of Pennsylvania, they have a filial support law. So even if you move all of your assets completely out of your control and you are successful at qualifying for Medicaid, should you need care, and the Medicaid program pays for all your care, they might very well come back to your daughter and make her pay anyway. This is a topic with lots of twists and turns. You should absolutely sit with a financial advisor, and in all likelihood, at some point, you'll need to sit with a qualified estate planning attorney. Very good question. Thank you so much for offering that up, and we send our blessings to you as well. Voice of an Angel saying we got to take a quick break. It's our last break of the show, top of the hour, next half hour. You'll get to enjoy Elvis Presley, and in between now and then, 610-720-7900 lets you join us. Gene@askmtm.com lets you join us. MoreThanMoneyOnline.com lets you join us. We'll welcome you after this on More Than Money. And I never could have come this far without you. They say I must be one of the wonders that's on creation. And as far welcome back to the home of explanations. You've got More Than Money. You've got Gene Dickinson, your host, your personal financial advisor with 780 years of experience at your service this Saturday morning. Now, the fog seems to be burning off a little bit. That's really, really good news. Everybody out there traveling, my bride, Diane, is on her way to Shippensburg. So if you're traveling 78 or 81, keep an eye out. Make sure everybody stays safe, particularly my wife. My daughter Megan traveling down to Shippensburg as Alyssa competes as a senior for Lebanon Valley on their track and field team. She's captain of the field team. And as a senior, everything's a little sad. She's just starting to say goodbye. And as a senior, we're talking about she's got 2 weeks before she graduates. So it's not like, oh, yeah, it's crazy. Sure, for us, it's a blank 4 years. So it is for her as well. She was home a couple weeks ago, and we had that conversation over dinner of how she feels. And fortunately, her time there is wrapping up, but she's heading off to Penn State to do some grad work in forensic science. We're very excited for her. But she said the same thing. How it's impossible. It's been 4 years. It's a blink. Just a blur. And some folks find that very unsettling. I find it wonderful. I think if you're finding that your life is just so packed that things go in a blur, I think you're doing something right. If you're looking at each other going, nope, every day is about the same. They just kind of drag along. I'm going to put you in my prayers. I think you need to kind of get that tuned up. 610-720-7900. Gene@askmtm.com. morethanmoneyonline.com. Let me see if I'm doing the math right. Yep, 18 minutes left in this edition of More Than Money, because we take top of the hour and share with you the entire song of our Name That Tune, and that's If I Can Dream by Elvis Presley. Caught my wife off guard as we're standing in the meditation garden at Graceland and viewing his resting site. And in our headsets, it's If I Have a Dream. And I said, hey, that's something I want played at my service. She's like, okay, that's creeping me out a little bit. But hey, I got a whole list of stuff. Give Me Shelter by the Rolling Stones, which is the exact same theme as If I Can Dream. Gentleman writes, I was listening last week when a man called about the real estate in his IRA. He was asking about his RMD and how he could make that happen when his money's tied up and he'd have to sell the property. I did something similar with my IRA 6 years ago. I set up a self-directed IRA, used my 401k rollover. I invested some in a rental property and some in a small business, some in other bits and pieces. My custodian has required that we do appraisals on both every year. They also required we maintain enough cash to fund RMDs, which started for me 3 years ago. They've been very helpful in lots of ways to keep me on track. Actually says keep my on track. I think you meant me, right? Keep me on track. Perhaps your listener needs a new custodian. That's not the worst idea I've ever heard. Now, if you were not listening last week, actually, I think this was 2 weeks ago, if I'm going by memory. A gentleman had called in and said he had taken his 401k, rolled it to an IRA, self-directed IRA, bought a rental property, and now finds himself needing to take RMDs and wondering, does he have to sell the rental property to do it? And just as this gentleman's email indicates, my experience has been with quality self-directed IRA custodians is that they are very tight. They are very, rigorous about their requirements to keep you on the good side of the IRS, including if you are coming up on the age where you need to take money out on an RMD, requiring that you keep sufficient cash, requiring that you do appropriate appraisals, because RMDs are based on the value of the IRA. The gentleman who called in a couple of weeks ago basically said, I kind of tell them what it's worth. That's not good. The IRS doesn't typically accept your amateur appraisals. They typically require that you have professional appraisals done, just as this gentleman indicates. He has both real estate and a small business investment inside his IRA. They are required to get appraisals. It adds to the cost, no question about it, but it also meets the IRS criterion. So a new custodian, very possibly. The gentleman who called in a couple weeks ago may need to explore that to get a tighter handle on what he should or should not be doing. In the alternative, is it possible to simply liquidate the investment property, turn everything into liquid assets, and then handle the RMDs from there? Sure, that's very possible. It's been, the last few years have been a pretty strong real estate market. It may actually be an appropriate time to consider selling prior to interest rates rising even more quickly than they have, or to a higher level than they have. As interest rates rise, that means that the carrying cost to buy an investment property rises as well. And when the carrying costs of an investment property rise, the values of the property drop. Does that make sense? Okay, here's fundamentally how it works. An investment property is worth cash flow. If you're buying your home, it's worth what you value your home to be relative to properties, other properties like it that you could purchase. So if somebody has a 4-bedroom, 2.5-bath colonial in a neighborhood where they typically sell for $300,000 and they're asking $900,000, you would rightfully scratch your head, say no thank you, and move along, because that's simply out of line with what others sell for. Even if your personal preference is, I really love that house, do you love it $600,000 more than the house next door? The answer is, don't be ridiculous. Investment properties are valued very differently, because it's not someplace that you're buying on personal preference. You're buying it for the investment return that's possible. And part of that is debt service. So you might have total rentals coming through the door of $20,000 a year. Subtract out the insurance, subtract out the real estate taxes. And let's just say, for the sake of demonstration, you have net $15,000 a year. And after you borrow the appropriate amount of money to pay for the property, you're able to break even. That's great. So whatever the asking price is, let's say it's $300,000 again, just for example, you got a big smile on your face, everybody wins. If interest rates rise and you still have the same $15,000 to service the debt, but you now need $18,000 or $20,000 to service the debt, you're not borrowing money. A quality investor, an intelligent investor, is not going to borrow more money and just go, well, I guess I'll just eat the extra. Heck no. They're going to offer a lower price so that the amount they borrow is smaller. And even at the higher interest rate, the same $15,000 will cover it. So as a result, rising interest rates very often have a negative effect on investment properties. Whether that investment property is a rental, whether it's a commercial property, office space, it simply doesn't matter. Rising rates almost always have a negative effect on values. So for the gentleman who has his real estate, has some issues perhaps with his custodian, now might be the time to get while the getting is good. I guess we'll see. 610-720-7900, gene@askmtm.com, morethanmoneyonline.com. Young lady writes, I've been listening to your radio program since the beginning of the year. My uncle has been listening to your program for quite some time, and in a conversation with him, my husband and I said that we were looking for a financial advisor. He recommended we listen. Thank you so very much to him. An idea. He thought that your experience and approach might line up nicely with our values and what we're trying to achieve in our financial goals and health. Thank you. That's the value piece is the most important piece, in my opinion. We're both in our late 20s. We live local. She talks about her job and her husband's job, both very, very good. Modest upbringings. We just want to be smart with our money. Perfect. Perfect. Perfect goal. We're both in our company's 401k plans. We have some life insurance, trying to save whatever we can. Of course, they have home mortgage and student loans. In parentheses, she says, huge shock there, I'm sure. No, absolutely not. You're perfectly normal. That's the way that works. Sorry, John. I'm absolutely, I was losing there. We'd like to get advice on what we can do further to live comfortably and retire at a reasonable age. Reasonable being in the eye of the beholder. Definitely interested in having advisory services. Very much interested. Thank you. How do we go about scheduling the appointment? Well, lovely. Just wonderful. Thank you so very much. And thank you to your uncle for the referral. Very, very kind. It just warms my heart when I see young people in their 20s interested in, committed to making smart financial choices. Because our financial results are often the result of making either wise or not financial decisions. Oh, sure. On occasion, somebody will hit the lottery. We get it. On occasion, somebody gets a large inheritance. We get it. On occasion, as they say, stuff happens. And through no wisdom of one's own, their financial fortunes are seemingly assured. Although the last study I read about the state of Pennsylvania's lottery winners, the $1 million and up lottery winners in the state of Pennsylvania, 30% declared bankruptcy. 30%. And 12% ended up behind bars. So, quick, easy wealth, maybe not always the answer to everyone's prayers, might just make things worse. So we are absolutely interested. And a lot of folks find that interesting or maybe curious that as a financial advisory firm that we are that we open our doors to young folks. We encourage that, particularly, of course, within the family of our clients, for their children, their grandchildren, in this case, one of our More Than Money family members, an uncle, sending us along family members. We are very, very grateful for that trust that they put in us, and we look forward to providing guidance so that these young folks can make good, informed, appropriate financial decisions for their financial future. 610-720-7900. We go to the phones. We talk to Ed. Ed, good morning.
Good morning, Gene.
Sir, how can we help you?
I have a question about vintage automobiles.
Sure.
I have two, and my son has expressed an interest in having those on my passing.
Mm-hmm.
I was thinking of putting them into an irrevocable trust at this time. And I have a question about what access I have to those in terms of operating and working on maintenance while they're in, if I do that in an irrevocable trust.
Sure, sure. If you place them in an irrevocable trust, it doesn't become operational, so to speak, until you're passing. So you still have access to, you still have control over, you still have rights to maintain and on some level, of course, enjoy the vehicles until you're passing. But you are adding a layer of responsibility because you are no longer the owner. The trust is the owner because you're no longer the ultimate beneficiary. Your son is the ultimate beneficiary. You're actually, in a very real sense, a fiduciary in that you are maintaining assets for the benefit of someone else. An irrevocable trust or irrevocable trust will require that someone other than yourself be the trustee, and you will need to coordinate with that trustee to provide those kinds of services and to be accountable to the trustee, maintaining insurance, for example, and keeping some degree of security of the assets for the benefit of your son. So it does add a layer of responsibility. Nothing, in my opinion, nothing that's above and beyond what you're already doing, what you are currently doing for yourself, for those the ownership of those cars. So I think that that's it's certainly doable. I'm not 100% sure that you gain anything by placing them in an irrevocable trust above and beyond what you might gain by simply detailing them as a specific bequest inside your will. I'm not sure what you would gain by placing them in that trust. Certainly a consult with your estate planning attorney would make a great deal of sense to clarify which strategic or which tactic, estate planning tactic, would best fit, whether it's the irrevocable trust or whether it's a bequest. But I get where you're going, and of course your son should put a big smile on your son's face.
Yeah. I was thinking of it in terms of reducing the size of my estate.
Yeah, and that may be the advantage that you're looking at. Of course, unless your estate is above $11 million, the federal government's not interested at all. In the state of Pennsylvania, if your heirs are direct descendants, it's a 4.5% number currently. It's not huge, but it may not be a small number. So if the irrevocable trust does that, and if the cost of the trust is reasonable versus the value of the assets that are out of your estate, that might make some real sense. But again, consulting with your estate planning attorney is the first place you're going to want to go.
Okay, thank you, Gene.
Thanks, Ed. Appreciate it very much. Irrevocable trust, as soon as I hear the word irrevocable, I get a little bit, I really do, because irrevocable, things happen. Goodness. And I understand that there are some real advantages to the irrevocable trust and removing assets from your estate and taxation, etc., avoiding probate, on and on and on. But the situation that requires me to never being able to change my mind, youch. We're going to turn the phones off at the moment. We're still taking emails, gene@askmtm.com. But then again, I take emails at gene@askmtm.com 24/7. So that part is easy. If you still have a question for me, just send them over, and we'll be happy to address them as best that we can. As the sun comes out and the fog burns off. And what was that I was hearing? Oh, it sounds like the call of a golf course. Nope, not today. There's so much. Oh, my. I get so much outside work to get caught up on and get the property looking reasonable. Maybe not as pretty as Graceland, but it's my own Graceland. We got some good stuff going on there we got to take care of. If you have listened this morning and said, hey, boy, there's a bunch of stuff that they're talking about that really does apply to me, and specifically to me, the word specific is always the key issue. There are no financial answers that are correct for everybody. None. Zero. They don't exist. So it's always important that every bit of information, every exploration, every decision that you make be custom tailored to your specific set of circumstances. And in a lot of cases, it's very, very helpful to kick those ideas around with a financial advisor that has some experience in those things and the ability to guide your exploration. So if you're exploring any topic, whether it's an investment topic, a long-term care topic, an estate planning topic, that you can see that ebb and flow, pros and cons, different options that may bring you to the best possible solution for you. In our practice, we refer to those as second opinion meetings, the opportunity to sit with a financial advisor and just kick those ideas around. There's no cost. There's no obligation. It's just an opportunity for us to serve you one more time at a higher level. All you have to do is ask. Send me an email, gene@askmtm.com, G-E-N-E, at askmtm.com. Go on our website, morethanmoneyonline.com. You'll learn a great deal, and you've got all the contact information there for our entire team. What a wonderful team it is. Just amazing group of folks all there to serve you. Again, morethanmoneyonline.com. And you can always go old school on us. Now, tax season's over, so we're not working Saturdays and Sundays these days. That'll come back around next next spring. But you can certainly use the technology. Leave us a voicemail all weekend long, and we'll contact you. Or you can wait till Monday morning at 8:30 and talk to some wonderful folks. All you have to do is call 610-746-7007. 610-746-7007. Folks, thanks for being with us this week. We'll see you next time on More Than Money.
There must be lights burning brighter somewhere. Got to be birds flying higher in a sky more blue. If I can dream of a better land where all my brothers walk hand in hand, tell me why. Oh, why can't my dream come true? Oh, why? There must be peace and understanding sometime. Strong winds of promise that will blow away the doubt and fear. If I can dream of a warmer sun where hope keeps shining on everyone, tell me why. Oh, why? Oh, why won't that sun cloud with too much rain? We're trapped in a world that's troubled with pain. But as long as a man has the strength to dream, he can redeem his soul and fly. Still, I am sure that the answer's gonna come.